Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am your host, Yvette Hampton, and I am back with Abinella today. And we are talking with Zan Tyler. If you missed parts 1 and 2 of our conversation with Zan, you are definitely going to want to go back and listen to those. She has such an incredible story about what the Lord has done through her life in providing the freedom that she had to be able to homeschool her kids. And you have that freedom as well because of people like Zan. And so, I shouldn't say that. Because of the Lord and what the Lord has done through people like Zan. So I want to kind of tie up your story. And then I want to talk a little bit, Zan, about homeschool freedom and what that means for us today and what we need to do to continue to protect that freedom. So kind of jump into maybe the later years, kind of how did this all end with your fight for homeschool freedom?
Well, we had that first public hearing, like we said, didn't do anything. Then we had the Senate hearing, and they tore up those regulations. And I just remember at that point, I thought that was kind of the end. I thought that was the end of the legislative story. Now we don't have these bad regulations, and we'll just go back to the badness that we had before that wasn't as bad as that.
Right.
And so I told my husband, he took off 3 days from work. And I was so tired. I'd lost the baby. You know, I'd been threatened with jail. I was just physically and emotionally spent. So I said, I want to stay in my bed for 3 days. Don't let anybody in the room. I just want to read my Bible. I want to sleep. I want to read a good book. And so the next morning at 9, he came and woke me up. And I said, wait a minute, did you not get the memo? And he said, Zan, you need to talk to this person. This is David Beasley on the phone. David was a young legislator. And he was in the legislature a little bit before I started lobbying, but he was elected as a college student. And so we just kind of grew up together. Now, he went on to become governor of South Carolina, and he recently just won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work in running an international organization. He's a real committed believer.
Wow.
And so he said, you just need to talk to David. He's got something to say. He said, Zan, I want you to meet me down here at the State Department today or the State House today. I'm going to file Georgia legislation, which is, if you know anything about Georgia, all you have to do is send a letter of intent to your superintendent. And we had a substantial equivalence law. They could approve us or not approve us. It was just the whim of the school board and the local school board. So I went down with David. You know, I'm so naive. I'm thinking, this is so fabulous. This time next year, all our lawsuits are going away and we'll have this Georgia law. Well, I get a call 2 days later from the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, Ed Garrison, and he said, Zan, this may work in Georgia. This is not working here, but I am going to appoint you as part of an ad hoc committee to draft homeschooling legislation that will work.
Wow.
So to make a long story short, we ended up with this law that required 7 things from, they couldn't reject the curriculum if you showed you had it. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to make sure that all you had to have was a high school diploma. You could use any curriculum you wanted. Those were our 2 hills to die on.
Okay.
But they wanted, standardized testing, 4.5 hours a day, 180 days, had to have a library, had to, just on and on and on. And, but we got the 2 things we wanted, and that was all we could get out of the committee. So we actually spent 2 years a year and a half lobbying for that. The last day of the session, the House amended it to say you had to make a passing score, this is so technical, on the triple E exam if you don't have a college degree. That meant all of a sudden, everybody passed it because they were sick of fooling with us. If you didn't have a college degree, you had to make a passing score on the test they give juniors in college who want to be teachers.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, our lawsuits don't just go away.
Right.
They triple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exponential. And so the law caused more problems than it created. And that's when I got to know Mike Ferris. We sort of became friends through this last phase of this. And so, you know, then in 1989, Mike Ferris flew down. One of our board members went with me. By this time, David Beasley is chairman of the House Education and Public
Works
Committee.
For those that don't know, Mike Ferris is HSLDA. I just want people to know.
He was the founder and president of HSLDA, now he's the CEO of ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
And so we're having this big legislative committee, and David Beasley said, "Sam, I think we can do this with a technical amendment. We think it's just kind of going to be one and done, and he's going to get in there, and it's going to be great." So 2 or 3 months later, I was at some big Republican dinner, and my friends found me and said, "Zan, we can't take care of your bill this year. We've got an anti-abortion law. We can't handle all these emotional Christian things in one session." So, you know, I just went home and really, I just cried my eyes out. I felt like it was Narnia. It was always winter, but never Christmas.
Yeah.
And so the only time I ever clean off my desk is when I'm really depressed. And so, you know, my desk is like overflowing with all these papers. And I found a suggestion from an attorney that I had worked with in those early days. He said, "Sam, you need to set up an organization like the private school accrediting organization. Mm-hmm. Count homeschoolers as private schoolers and go for it."
Yeah.
So I called Mike. That night late, like 11 or midnight or something. I said, "Do you think this will work?" He said, "Yep, call me in the morning." So we actually set up this organization that Joe and I started, South Carolina Association of Independent Homeschool, SCAIS, as an organization similar to SCISA, and we would accredit homeschoolers like they were private schools. Mm-hmm. So we got some traction on that. We had 120 brave families come on board with us.
Wow.
And all the private school people I met with, I was so careful to meet with all of our friends and tell them what we were doing so nobody was taken by surprise and I could garner support, because we needed support outside the homeschooling community because we didn't have a big homeschooling community. And so I had really done my homework and done all of that. And they said, "Zan, keep your test scores. Your test scores will be great. Homeschoolers do well. You've probably got 2 years." Mm-hmm. Well, 3 months later, 14 of our families in one school district were threatened with truancy. And I mean, the light on the front porch in the middle of the night, you know, wanting to give the subpoenas to the children, people crawling out their bathroom windows and getting their cars to go see their in-laws.
Wow.
You know, it was just one of those horror stories.
Yeah.
So to make a long story short, SCAIS was in court. We were in court battles for a year and a half. Mike, it's way too complicated to get into here, into all this now, filed a class action suit against the use of the Triple E with homeschoolers. And because in SCAIS, we were only requiring homeschoolers to have high school diplomas, mm-hmm. and they could use any curriculum they wanted.
Sure.
So we were doing an end run around the law because we wanted out of the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike won a huge case at the Supreme Court decision.
Wow.
At the Supreme Court level that mm-hmm. opened the door for SCAIS. I'll never forget. This was just such a huge decision. And they called me from HSLDA. I mean, I'm at home. I'm young. I got a ponytail and blue jeans and t-shirts on. And, you know, and they're calling me, "We won, we won, we won." And they're reading me, you know, what they had of the decision. And I mean, I'm just crying because I could just hear the walls of Jericho crumbling, you know. And so I'm crying and they're cheering and they're saying, "We don't care if you're in your pajamas, go pick up that decision and overnight it to us." I mean, again, no email, you know.
Yeah.
And so that really opened the door for SCAIS. We had the Attorney General's office and the attorney for the State Department of Education meet with us and ask me what I wanted. And I said, I want SCA's in law. Mm-hmm. So actually, when the SCA's law passed, it was the first time in the history of the country that a state legislature had given a private sector organization the same power as local school boards in approving homeschool programs. So I remember Mike writing this article and talking about how it was this great advancement of, of self-government.
Yeah.
We became self-governing and totally out of the public sector.
Yeah.
And I can remember testifying. I mean, we still had roads to hoe in that legislative mm-hmm. session, even though it was supposed to be easy. We called for 3 days of fasting and prayer before mm-hmm. I went in to testify for the Senate Education Committee, where we should have lost the whole shebang, and the Lord just was so faithful to hear that and deal with it. And I can just remember testifying in front of that committee thinking, I cannot believe this is the stupidest thing I've ever done, asking these men to vote to let us govern
and raise our children.
Yes. And but the SCA's law passed in 1992.
Wow. And SCA's is still around today.
SCA's is
still running strong.
Yes, still running strong. As a matter of fact, our membership has been up about 60%. Wow. We're a little bit of a different model. Mm-hmm. We have educational counselors at every level, mm-hmm. special needs, high school, middle school, elementary school. And we do a lot of curriculum counseling. We have a bookstore where people can come and look at curriculum.
Yeah.
We do a lot of just in-person counseling, phone counseling, Zoom counseling now, where we just help. I mean, we just walk alongside homeschool moms and help them. You know, some people don't need any support.
Sure.
Some people need lots of support. So.
Yeah. And that's in South Carolina. So if you live in South Carolina and you're listening to this.
And, you know, we actually have people around the world, from missionaries and military families and people in other states who just want some accountability, but a lot of support.
Okay.
And so.
Yeah, that is amazing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content. And through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Zan, and we have a few minutes left. And in these last few minutes, Zan, I want to talk about homeschool freedom. I mean, that's where this whole conversation has been leading towards. And you know, it's funny. We started the conversation talking about fear and how to overcome fear, and to trust. And through your story, it's really neat to just see God's hand on you, and you trusted Him. And this is where you've gone today. And we're in a position in our country right now where we are having to trust the Lord with things that we can't see. We have no idea. I mean, we could not, a year ago, we never would have imagined that we are where we are today. And a year from now, who knows where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, what freedoms we're going to be fighting for. And so I want to talk specifically about homeschool freedom and why that matters. Why does it matter? We know why it matters, why you fought for it. But we, like Abby said earlier, we kind of take it for granted. We forget, mm-hmm. and some don't even forget because some don't even know the freedoms that we have today. How do we keep and hold tight to these freedoms that we have?
You know, the Korean War Memorial in Washington, D.C. has a plaque that says freedom is not free. Mm-hmm. And just like both of our dads are World War II veterans, mm-hmm. and they were willing to give their lives from freedom. We have got to realize that freedom is not free. And that's like right. I think Edmund Burke said, all we need for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Yep.
You know, this is not, we are not in a neutral zone when it comes to freedom. You're either fighting for freedom and maintaining and growing in freedom, mm-hmm. or you're sliding back. And sometimes it's like the frog in the pot of hot water. It starts out cold and they don't know they're boiling to death until it's too late. So, you know, you don't know what you've lost till it's gone. Okay. So we have got to be vigilant to fight for freedom. There's a number of ways we can do that. Everybody can do a little. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying everybody's called to be an upfront, outfront lobbyist or freedom fighter, right. or whatever you want to call it. Everybody needs to know who their state senator and state representative is. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to get to know somebody involved in local government so that they can put a name with a face. If you're too scared to do that by yourself, invite your state representative or your state senator to your co-op. Mm-hmm. Meet them during day at the Capitol. You are going to have to set aside your intimidation to get involved locally.
Yeah.
It might, you know, your whole penchant might be the fine arts or whatever, but just make sure you're doing something in your corner of the world that makes a stand for freedom. Join your state organization. Mm-hmm. Our yep. state organizations are really the gatekeepers for freedom.
Yep.
Sometimes we think maybe we don't need them. Maybe we're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. But that guarding freedom, watching the legislature every day, that is so invaluable. And then I would say on a national level, make sure you join HSLDA.
Yep.
You may never have a policeman show up at your door, but you're helping the person in another state prevent yeah. that. I mean, in South Carolina, if that Tripoli case had passed the state Supreme Court, there were like a dozen states waiting in the wings to implement this front-end credentialing that you had to pass a test before you could homeschool. Mm-hmm. So what happens in one state matters, right. whether you live in that, I mean, because that homeschooling regulation is coming to a right. state mm-hmm. near you. You know, if we're not on guard, Abraham Lincoln said it is so true. We're either going to hang together or we're going to hang separately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we've got to hang together, stick together.
Yeah.
To do this.
Yep. Yep. So to clarify a little bit, Abby, I want you to jump in on state organizations, because you talked about state organizations. And for those maybe who are new to the podcast, because we have a lot of new listeners, and maybe those who have heard it, but they just need a reminder, Abby, what are state organizations? And you, because you're on the board of Homeschool Idaho, you and your husband, Jesse.
Right. So Zan hit it pretty well. State organizations are the gatekeeper. And the majority of states do have a state mm-hmm. organization. And they are watching what's going on as far as bills that are coming through, as far as threats to our homeschool freedom. And they're on the front lines. So they also, in most states, are the very people that brought us from where Zan was, the threat of being jailed, or in the state of Idaho, that there were parents actually jailed, to the place that we are now, where in all 50 states, we are free to homeschool. So it is crucial that we support mm-hmm. those states. And again, like Zan said, maybe not everybody is out there on the front lines or, but you said before, Yvette, when people look at Zan, she was homeschooling three kids simultaneously mm-hmm. while she was doing all of this. And so many are like, man, I can't even get through my homeschool day, let alone add on all these things. But I don't think, we're not called to do it all, but right. what we've learned in this series with Zan is, even though we're not called to do it all, we are called to do what God has asked us yeah. to do with our all, with right. 100% of who we are. And if you are a parent, you are called to teach and train your child up in the Lord. You are called to be their primary educator. You're called to be a parent. And in that means you are called to defend the freedom to do so. Because right. the truth is, they're coming after our kids. And yeah. we need to band together and we need to stand strong like the Zan Tylers and those that have gone before us and get involved with your state organization. And that might just simply mean send an email to say, how can I help?
Yep.
How can I lick stamps? I mean, everybody can lick stamps.
They come sticky already, Abby.
Oh, you're right. So there, you don't even have an excuse. You can peel the stamp off and it on. But I think that if anybody has learned anything, our freedom isn't free.
That's right.
And we didn't get to where we were by people doing nothing. And so it is important that we are doing something, that we are actively fighting and defending the freedoms that have already been fought for. Yep. We cannot be complacent. Nope. And I think that it would do such a dishonor to those that have gone before us for us to just sit in our houses and assume that this is how it's going to remain. We need to be on the front lines. And more than being on the front lines, we need to be on our knees because as we've learned in this story, God is sovereign and he has a plan and he's going to do, here's the deal. God's going to do the heavy lifting as we've heard in this story, but we need to be willing to say, yes, we need to be willing to show up. Even if we're in our blue jeans and our ponytails or in bed saying, I'm going to stay in bed 3 days and the phone call rings, you know, we need to say yes and show up. And then we need to get on our knees and pray and then watch God do the heavy lifting because he's going to do it, but let's show up.
And in that prayer, ask the Lord how he can use you. You know, we are fighting a real battle and there is a real enemy for the souls of our children and they will do anything and everything. We've seen that happen in the past. We've seen it happen, you know, in all of history, but we've seen in the past year that we have a real enemy who they're fighting hard to get to our kids. And if we don't do something, then we have no right to say anything when that freedom could be taken away.
We cannot take it for granted.
We cannot.
I can say anything. It is do not take it for granted.
That's right.
Do something. If you're doing nothing, like Yvette said, you can't then complain when the freedoms are taken. And let's show honor and thankfulness for those that have gone before us by carrying the torch on.
Yep.
You know what? I mean, we've got children and we've got grandchildren and we cannot just assume it's going to stay the way it is. So let's rise up and be the Zan Tylers and carry this, pass the torch on.
Yeah, that's right. There's something. And we will put, I'll put the link in the show notes, but so that you know, if you go to the Schoolhouse Rocked website, on the top banner, you'll see homeschooling in your state. If you click on that, that will take you to the Homeschool Freedom website. And that website all you have to do is click on your state and that will take you straight to your own specific state organization. So you can find out exactly who they are. We've done all the research for you. We've got all the links and the clicks and stuff there for you. Find out who your state organization is. And then Zan, really quickly, I want you to talk, you mentioned it already, but HSLDA, for those who don't know, is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. In a quick nutshell, tell us who they are and then how we can get involved and partner with HSLDA.
You can join HSLDA. I think it's $115 a year. If you had to pay an attorney, that's like a third of an hour.
Oh, sure.
But they work with state leaders around the country to ensure freedom. They're taking things to court. I mean, it's like the state organizations are the boots on the ground, and they're like the Air Force that comes in and sees the big picture and what lawsuits need to be answered or filed or what parent needs to be protected. So it just gives us an added measure. These are all constitutional lawyers and litigators, and then they're all homeschool dads, and it's the largest homeschooling organization in the world, and it gives us a presence in D.C. It gives us a presence in the Supreme Court if we need it. It gives us a presence in circuit courts, all or in state courts, all around the country. It just does things for us. I felt like while we were working in the legislature, HSLDA was the battering ram that kept battering on the door, you know, to kind of knock that freedom door open for us. And it was at both ends. So I just can't say that enough, that we need to be freedom minded enough that we're thinking beyond our own front door.
Yes. And one more thing I didn't mention with the with the state homeschool organizations that made me think of when you sent out the letters and 600 people showed up at that meeting and you said that the numbers counted, right? That politicians can count, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I think every state homeschool organization, they're the ones that send the alerts when there's something mm-hmm. happening. And, you know, the world is noisy and we get 1,000 emails and we just tend to swipe them, delete. When you get one of those alerts for your from your state homeschool organization, which, by the way, you have to sign up to get those. So go to your state website and sign up. Do what they ask you to do, because that is this day and age. That's the 600 showing up, right? Yeah. That is us in numbers. When they're getting 500, 600, 700 emails saying we oppose this bill.
Right.
They're going to hear us. Don't say someone else will send it, because yeah. if everybody Fine. Says that, they're getting one email and they're going to ignore us.
Yeah.
So be one of the 600 that shows up.
Right, right. Yep. We are much stronger together, like you said, yes. Zan. And as far as HSLDA, it's not just that you have that legal backing. They offer so much more. And, and we've said this before on the podcast, we do not have an affiliate account with them or anything. We don't get paid anything to promote them. We just so strongly believe in the importance of being part of your state organization and HSLDA mm-hmm. because we have to keep our freedoms to homeschool.
Yes.
And so they offer lots of, back, I guess it was last summer before my oldest daughter was going into high school, I called and spoke with one of their high school consultants, and she literally walked me step by step. I was on the phone with her for, I don't know, at least an hour. And she walked me through all of what I need to do for record keeping and transcripts and all of it, because it was a little bit scary. I'd not homeschooled high school before. And they have a special needs department. So if you're homeschooling a special needs child, they can help walk you through that process. They are just a wealth of information and resources. And your state organization does much of the same. So be part of those at the very, very least.
Yep.
Be a member of your state organization and HSLDA. And then pray and ask how the Lord can use you. So Zan, you have
brought
Abby to tears. you have moved in me as well so much. And I am so grateful to know you and the things. I'm grateful for the fight that you were willing to fight on our behalf, not even knowing what you would be doing and the lives that you would be impacting. So thank you for putting yourself out there. Thank you for being obedient to the call that God put on your life and for the impact that you've made in the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, God has used you in a big way.
A privilege. I don't guess I have time to share the biggest lesson I ever learned in government.
Yeah, absolutely, okay. You do.
So that meeting that I had with Mike Ferris and David Beasley, who was the chairman of our House Education and Public Works Committee, that was when we got the good news that we thought everything might work out. Well, it's winter, it's cold. Mike and I walk out into the lobby area of the State House, and he looks at me and he said, "That's great news. That is the most we could have hoped for." And I burst into tears. And he said, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "All of a sudden, I realize what I'm looking at. Another round of legislative campaigns that I have to plan. My kids are going to live at the State House again." I mean, it was just this overwhelming oppression. And I looked at Mike and I said, "I just don't have I don't know that I have the shoulders for this anymore." And he says, "Well, sounds like you need a new set of shoulders to me." And so he doesn't remember saying that. So he walks off, I go to my car. I mean, it's pouring down rain. It matches my mood. And I get in the car, I'm soaking wet, I'm crying, I'm a mess. And I had not turned my radio off this Christmas. And when I turn my car on, over the speakers blare somebody reading the verse, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders."
Wow.
And I thought, there's my new set of shoulders.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just was like God saying to me, just like you were saying, Abby, I'm just the co-laborer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just going along for the ride and working where God is, I hope. You know, that's what we all want to be. But when, you know, that just really forever changed me. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders."
Wow.
His shoulders are big enough.
That's right.
And they're strong enough. And he's sovereign and he's good. And So that's, if I can leave anybody with any thought.
That's right.
It's who Jesus is.
Yes. Amen.
I can't think of a better way to wrap this up. So thank you so much, Zan. You are a blessing, my friend, and I am thankful to know you.
Well, thank y'all. What a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you so much.
So fun. And thanks, Abby. So much fun to always be on with you. You guys have a great rest of your week. Make sure you share this podcast with your friends. And we will be back on Monday with another great episode. See you then. Bye. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.